I've just begun a series in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you're not very familiar with church, this is a relatively good place. You probably should have come last week because we began at the beginning of Jesus' first sermon. But this is Jesus' first big sermon. And so he's baptized, which is, as we know for this morning, a sign of new beginnings. And as we have this new beginning, he's then sent out into the wilderness where he's tempted. And Jesus proves to be the person who doesn't fault when he's tempted. How many of us have managed, well, even the first week of January, to hold on to those New Year's resolutions? But Jesus was able to remain firm, despite every temptation being put in front of him. And as he arrives and he begins going about, he is teaching his people. He comes and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, turn, because this is the kingdom." And when somebody comes and claims to be the king and says, "Now's the kingdom," you're obviously going to say, "Well, what's the kingdom mean?" And if Jesus goes up to people, he shows what the kingdom means. Because he goes up to sick people and they're made well. The blind see, the lame walk. And so as we see Jesus going around, we see what it might mean for this world to be remade properly as God would have it. In fact, we even see battle on a kind of spiritual level as Jesus comes across demon-possessed people and wins them back, sets them free. And we don't really understand that. We might not know really what that means, but it does mean that where Jesus comes as king, nothing else can stand. And obviously, because he's going around, and this is the first century AD, and it's in the Middle East, all these people kind of gather around. And there are wealthy and impressive people, and there are poor and unimpressive people. And as they gather, he goes up on a hill. And as he goes up on a hill, he goes and sits down and begins to speak. He goes to say, "Okay, this is the message." And he comes along with this wonderful good news. And he says this. He said, "Blessed," meaning happy, perhaps, or probably a bit more than that, "you are in a fortunate position if..." And he lists some of the people that this world really puts down. The poor in spirit. Those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. You see, he sits down and all these people are gathered around him. I don't know if you've seen Monty Python's Life of Brian. There's a great scene quite early on where Jesus is up there speaking and you just see these crowds of people all around, all slightly curious. What does this astonishing miracle maker have to say? And his first line is not, "Here are 25 things you need to do to get to God." The first thing he says is, "I've got some good news for you. And I've particularly got some good news for you if you are down, if you are trampled, if you are crushed." In fact, he says, "If you're a loser, God's on your side. Blessed are the losers, for today's the day." At least that's my modern understanding of those 9 statements of blessing where he says, God's with you if you think no one is. If you are all by yourself, if you are trampled, if you are low, God is with you. And then he turns to these people, who really are not the kind of the creme de la creme of society, and he uses 2 images, and that's what I want to spend just the rest of my time with you today exploring. The salt of the earth. Now, as you came here, especially if you drove, you'll have seen salt all over the floor. If you were lucky enough to get a cooked breakfast this morning, it probably contained far too much salt. I've got a little thing that I want to do with you. I've got a little quiz. And I'd like to invite you, I'm going to list all the items, and then I want you to put your hands up. Everyone's going, not audience participation. My goodness. Okay. So I've got some porridge. I've got some Reese's peanut butter cups. They are good. Some chocolate biscuits. I've got some mayonnaise. I've got some gravy. I've got some, oh, you'll love these. Belgium dark chocolate and raspberry rice cakes. Nothing but the best here. I've got some crisps. I've got some flapjack and some porridge, okay? And I'm going to go through each one. And as I get to it, I mean, put your hands up if you think it's got salt in it, okay? Are you ready? Gravy. Yes, I think it's about 50% salt, actually. Okay, Reese's peanut butter cups. Yeah, I think the salt is the reason why you can't have just one. What are these chocolate biscuits? Yeah, chocolate biscuits, they've got salt in. Mayonnaise. Yep, that's got salt in, yep, okay. Fruity flapjacks. Yep, they've got salt in. Crisps. Belgium dark chocolate and raspberry rice cakes. No, they don't. No, I got you there. The one thing I could find in my cupboard that didn't have salt in. Everything else, it seemed, had salt in. Now, that might be because we're particularly unhealthy. I don't think it is. But it's because salt is so it's so lovely. It makes such a difference. It's so great. It makes everything taste better. So, of course, when they're trying to sell something to you, they add all the stuff in. I mean, the terrifying thing is I read the ingredients of some of the things that I regularly eat. My goodness, it's terrible. Salt is everywhere. And he says to them, you are the salt of the earth. Now, if you're the salt of the earth, we have a kind of idea that salt of the earth is a kind of rough and ready. The person who Fs and blinds a bit about whose heart's in the right place. But Jesus here is speaking to ordinary people, people who've been trampled. And he says, you're the salt of the earth. And at the time, salt was one of the most valuable commodities. In fact, the word salary comes from salt, because soldiers would have been paid in salt. Because it was such a kind of precious thing, and because he wanted it to use it everywhere. And so, you people who are downtrodden and ignored, you people have been treated so badly, God is on your side. And you are precious. Here's another image. You are the light of the world. The hands up who had to get up this morning in the dark. Yeah, you, everyone else, you lucky people. The clergy, we all got up in the dark this morning. Everyone goes, oh, I do like the weekend. It's so restful, all that lovely, lazy Sunday morning. Yeah, not if you wear one of these. But every morning, you know, if you do get up in the dark, you switch the light on. Why? Because you're going to stub your toe if you don't. Or you'll, you know, trip over the Lego that you've left out just outside your bedroom and cause yourself immense amounts of pain. We need the light so that we can see. It's kind of quite a normal thing. We get in our cars and we turn the lights on. Why? Well, so everyone can see us and we can see. And so life actually can even save lives. If there wasn't light, there would be no life on earth if it wasn't for the light and heat of the sun that brings things to life. Light is invaluable. So when he says, you are the light of the world, which is astonishingly something also that he says about himself, he's saying that, well, you're so significant. Imagine being one of those people that is downtrodden, poor in spirit, mourning, meek, and he says, you are the light of the world. Really? Me? Little old me? And there are three things I want to bring out from these two images. Three things I think they've got in common. And the first is this. Both salt and light are different. There's nothing quite like salt that you can add in. I don't know if you've ever tried to go salt-free, and then you get low-salt salt, whatever that is, and and there's nothing quite like it. And if something's got salt in it, you know it. So, and if it doesn't, you know that really annoying thing where you go and get chips from the chip shop, and you go and sit down on the beach, and you realize they haven't put salt on them. And you're just eating greasy potatoes. Ah, oh, so you know when there's salt. It's different. It's different. It's noticeable. And what about light? Well, light is of course different. And so what he's saying here is he's saying you people who've come and gathered, you people that are going to be part of the kingdom, you kingdom receivers and even kingdom makers, kingdom bringers, you people who are going to be involved in this kingdom. You are different, you are valuable, you are precious, and you're important, and you've got to be different. Do you notice that? He says this, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? Well, if you're thinking of the salt that you have in a salt cellar on your table, it's not quite that. This is more like the grit that you've seen on the roads. So it gets icy, or they know it's going to be an icy night. They go and they put salt and grit all over the place. And within a day or two, it's all kind of gone away. It's all been mushed up and diluted and everything. So what do? They go out with the gritters again. And the kind of salt that they would have had in these days would have probably been more kind of mixed salt. And there is that, you know, you're always adding salt to things or whatever, but if you ever go to the salt cellar and you put your hands in, it's just some sort of grains of dust. Well, you don't hold on to it. You don't go and sell your Reese's miniature peanut butter cups and go, ah, with added random dust we found somewhere. No, you just get rid of it. It's no good to you. And what would have happened there is you'd have just basically chucked out of the window into the road and it would have been trampled. He says, salt is different. And if it stops being salty, it's pointless. Now, one of the things about being a Christian is you are called to a different way of life. Jesus comes and he turns the world upside down. Says, the people that don't do well in this world, well, they're going to be first in this kingdom. The last in this world are now going to be first. The ones who are trampled, they're going to be blessed. The ones who are overlooked, well, they're going to be precious. That's how different Jesus is. And if the church just looks like the rest of the world, then it's not good for anybody. What's the point of the church if it just looks like everyone else around? And that doesn't mean necessarily that culturally we should be weird. It does mean, though, in the way that we live and the values of the church, is baptized into this different way of life. Certain promises are going to be made to say, this is the road that we're going to set her on. This is the plan. We want her to be a person of the kingdom. But also with salt and light, something else they've got in common is they make a difference. Did you notice that? Well, think about salt. You know, it's put in something and it makes a difference. It's not just different by itself. It's not that it's noticeable. It's that actually it makes everything delightful. So I imagine that most of these things, they wouldn't sell as well if they didn't have salt in. They're the sort of thing that actually they make a difference. And even just a very small amount of salt in something can transform it and turn something that's a bit bland into delicious. I wonder if you knew, has anyone ever got one of the extra tasty chickens from a supermarket? Anyone ever got one of those? They're brilliant, cooking a bag. No one is admitting it. It was like, no, we go super duper organic. Well, all they do is they just soak them in brine and then they put them in a bag and call them extra tasty. It's not they fed the chicken anything extra. It's just because salt is extra tasty. And it makes a difference. It gets everywhere. If you put salt into a stew, the whole stew is affected. Or you think about if you're in a dark room and someone switches on the light. Well, even if the light's over there, it still makes a difference over here. Light affects the darkness around it. It reshapes things. It changes things. And actually, the amazing thing about light is when light comes, there's no darkness. And so what Jesus is saying, he's saying to these people, he's saying, your salt, your light, you've got to make a difference. It's a real challenge to a church that wants to hide in its nice buildings and kind of live its nice little religious private life, but not live out what Jesus says in the world. And a church like that becomes irrelevant, becomes smaller and smaller, and dies. Why? Well, because if salt loses its saltiness, what's the point? If light is hidden under a bowl, what's the point of lighting it in the first place? And it's not even that what he's saying here is he's saying, you've got to go out. He's saying, if you are a member of the kingdom, a follower of Jesus Christ, you will make a difference. That's what he says. Did you notice that? A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. We went to France this year. It was a wonderful treat. And we had one sort of six-hour period. We went with another family. And each couple gave the other couple 6 hours away from children. So where do we go? A vineyard. Of course we do. So there, as we're turning up to this vineyard, we're driving through all the vineyards, sort of over the slopes, down into the valley, and everywhere is vineyards, apart from what's in front of us. Well, it's a town built on a hill. And you can't hide it. You couldn't even hide it in daytime. But imagine at night when the lights are on. You say, if you really are a follower of Jesus, you will make a difference. It'll make a difference to your life. And it'll make a difference to the world around. So actually, if you think, you know what? Following Jesus makes no difference to my life, and no difference to my family, or my workplace, or my street, you really need to question whether or not you really are a light. If you're not flavoring, if you're not making a difference to the world around, then you've lost your saltiness if you're not different anymore. Finally, what we see is we see that it is for good. Now, my favourite chocolate I was given at my birthday was just after Christmas. Seriously, if you're going to have children, try and avoid their birthday being the same week as Christmas. It's really unfair. But anyway, this is what I was given. You know, I love dark chocolate. What can make dark chocolate better? A touch of salt. I cannot open this, because when I open it, it will go. It will literally not survive. I mean, if it survives an hour, that'll probably only be because somebody sat on it or something. Like, once it's open, I love it. Why? Because, well, salt makes it better. Light makes a place better. Light brings life. It brings cleansing. Salt makes a difference. Salt saves lives on the roads. Well, the astonishing thing is that the difference that Christians should make, we should be different, and we should make a difference. But that difference is not so we can just sit on high and judge people and point out and say, that's wrong, that's wrong, oh, that's not good enough either. No, the difference we should make should be good deeds that are so good and so normal in our lives. So many, well, look that next verse says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so they see your good deeds and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Let your light shine so that people go, there's something different about that person. What's different about that person? You know, how come when I'm in trouble, they're always the person I feel I can turn to? And they're always the person who actually shows up and helps. Or if you work and you're in a workplace where everyone's kind of fighting towards the deadline and it's just fight, 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 everyone's doing everything they can, everybody's losing their temper, and yet there's somebody in there who seems to manage to not think that the deadline is everything and the only thing that matters. And whilst they're working hard, they're not all consumed in such a way that they're just going to burst out in bad temper like everybody else. And therefore, actually, when you're feeling the pressure of the deadline, they're the person you come along to and talk with and share your struggles with and find sympathy. See, wouldn't it be great if people living for the kingdom made such a difference for good that people said, what's different about you? They said, well, it's Jesus. It's Jesus' kingdom. And see, I don't have to prove my own worth. I can trust in him. He's the one. He's the Savior. He's the one who loves me. And because I'm loved by the one who made me, I don't have to measure my worth by how much I'm paid or whether I get that bonus this year, because I know that I'm loved. You see, we need to be different. We need to make a difference. And that difference is for good. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we do thank you so much that Jesus came for those who are often overlooked in this world, often trampled, often ignored. And he offered a kingdom with such different rules to this world that he said that we are valuable and precious, that we can make a difference, that we can point to you. Pray that for each one here. We pray that for Rose as she begins her journey with you. Lord our God, we pray that you would help us to be salty, to be the light, to shine, that we may glorify you. Amen.